20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Dusty Evely. With me, as always, as usual, I should say, because I actually wasn't here last week, is the lovely Steve Perhatch and the very handsome Sarah Kelleher. Guys, how are you? I missed you last week. Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy that the gang is all back together, that preseason is pretty much over, and now the focus shifts to the regular season. So, you know, we have a lot to talk about on the episode today. Lots of legitimate news, and we didn't have to scrap for content, so that's always lovely. So I'm doing great, thank you.
You're welcome, Steve. How are you doing, man?
Not too bad. It was a long day for work. Working in the finance world, it's the end of the month, so there's always people pushing to get stuff done. So that was crazy. And then I finished up two fantasy football drafts yesterday and today. So big shout out to my wife for putting the kids to bed both nights and allowing me to do those things and then following it up with a podcast. So she's a saint and I don't deserve her, but yeah. I'm excited to talk some Packers football and get the whole team together again. We had a lot of fun last week. We had some good content and good interactions, but it's never the same when it's not the three of us.
Yeah, for sure. And I listened the next day. You guys did a great job. I had stuff for work that kind of kept me out, unfortunately, last minute. But I'm glad you guys held it down. I'm sorry for bailing on you. So we're going to try to make that up this week. So as Sarah said, we're not scrapping for content. And we're not scrapping for content because things happen, man. It was yesterday, when you're listening to this, was cut down day. The big news, the biggest news of the day, the Packers traded. They traded for a punter, one Mr. Corey Cory Bojorquez. So just a quick rundown. 24 years old, undrafted. He was recently with the Rams, backing up Johnny Hecker. But he actually played his first three seasons in Buffalo. I believe he ended up by PFF's ratings fifth in hang time. J.K. Scott was first, but Bojorquez actually had a further distance. I think 50.8 yards per punt. So, I mean, this has been something, and I think the trade was the Packers sent a 2023 sixth, and they got back Bojorquez and a 2023 seventh from the Rams. So kind of a wash there. It's also looking like he'll probably be holder. And then I think it was roughly about an hour later they cut J.K. Scott. So, I mean, this isn't really a shock. Scott's been up and down since he's been with the Packers. That was kind of the big hope that he was going to shake out with his leg, and it just inconsistencies kind of did him in and killed him. So that was kind of, kind of a shock, I think, that was kind of done. But I don't know, Steve, how do you feel about that move?
I don't know what the hell to do with my J.K. Scott jersey now. Like, seriously, what's it? Honestly, I like it. I really like the move. I think it's aggressive, and I think I know there's going to be people that complain and bitch and moan that the Packers have used. Was J.K. Scott was he a fifth round pick, sixth round?
I think fifth.
Fifth. So they used a fifth round pick on him. They used a pick on a long snapper. And then now they're trading a pick to get this guy. And so the hell what? Have you seen the special teams play from the Packers the last several years? Get somebody good. I mean, that you need a talented punter because that flips the field. And when you have J.K. Scott punting for, what was it, 21 yard, 23 yards in the preseason?
21, yeah.
How do you see this as anything but positive? Like they are identifying problems and they are going out of their way to fix them. That is exactly what you want out of a GM. So I like it.
Sarah, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't be worse, really, than what J.K. Scott was already doing.
That's a spirit.
So that's just kind of my thought is, why not try something new? And God help us if it is worse, because like you said, Steve, the Packers special teams, they're just a headache. So if this is one thing that can help that, then great. So yeah, it was a little weird to see a punter's trade, but it's going to help the Packers. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I know. The pick stuff, it does suck when you spend a pick on a punter and it doesn't shake out. But this year was going to be his last year under contract, and it clearly was not working. So Well, too bad, but I'm hoping for we're on the Boyarquez train here now at Pack a Day, I suppose. So, the other news, this is the biggest news of the day. It was cutdown day. Rosters had to go down to 53 today, and so that just meant a whole lot of cuts. So we've seen, you know, I don't know about you guys, I had my own personal 53-man roster just to kind of like, just so I could, when I'm talking, if I'm saying, I could see this guy making the roster. If I look back, I say, oh, I had 70 guys making my roster. This doesn't make any sense. So try to make sense of it myself. I know a lot of people track this. A lot of people are looking, what's that final 53 going to be? Now, we know all too well that the final 53, even tomorrow, is not going to be the final 53. This is always in flux. We've seen that with Gutekunst time and time again. But for now, for today, we've got the final 53 and all of these conversations that everyone's had over the past month through preseason, even before that, in terms of all these battles and who's going to make the team. Those can all be put to bed temporarily, roughly. So we're just going to kind of take a rundown of the final 53 and look at the position groups and see kind of what we think about where they sit. Any major cuts or signings from you guys that you didn't expect. So we're just going to go ahead and hit that, I guess. We're going to start with quarterback. I mean, for me, I don't know about you guys, no real surprises. They kept two. They kept Aaron Rodgers. They kept Jordan Love all offseason. You know, everyone fell in love with Kurt Benkert, me included. I love Kurt Benkert. I kind of assumed they were going to keep two. And I know, you know, with what the Falcons are doing, that was a big thing with A.J. McCarron went down. And if they let go of Benkert and try to get him back on the practice squad, are the Falcons going to try to do it? Well, the Falcons actually kept three. Falcons kept Matt Ryan, Felipe Franks, and Josh Rosen as their quarterback. So they're likely not going to take Benkert. So there's still a chance he gets back on practice squad. But Sarah, what do you think about the quarterback shakeout about what you thought?
I mean, I wasn't surprised. Kind of what I expected. I know there was some speculation about Benkert and, you know, if he would actually make the final 53, but I think most people were in agreement that sadly he would probably be cut and then hopefully brought back on the practice squad. So that's, you know, kind of what I think is going to happen. It seems like he really likes being in Green Bay and that a lot of the guys really like him too. So if they can have a guy like that on the practice squad, that's awesome, but nothing too, you know, surprising there.
Steve, where are you at with quarterbacks?
Totally agree with what they did. I mean, he's a good story. Benkert is for sure, and a great follow on Twitter, and wholesome, and everything that you want. But there's plenty of other spots to add, like one more guy to the 53. You know, wide receiver, tight end. Like there's going to be issues there. Like offensive line, plenty of places that I would take an extra body at as opposed to the quarterback because, 12 is taking it for 17 games. Shouldn't be a problem there. And yeah, just run with it.
All right. We're on the same page. Running backs, I think kind of the same way. I think there's a scenario where they maybe kept four, but you know, they kept three, which I think is kind of what a lot of us expected. They kept Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, and Kylan Hill, the seventh rounder they took this last year. So, Steve, where are you sitting on that running back room? I know Patrick Taylor was kind of a story. Dexter Williams looked good in preseason. Where do you sit with that running back room?
If Kylan Hill wouldn't have been as good as he was, I would have thought four. But when he was producing as well as he did, you know, continually making plays, he also has the ability to return kicks. Like, they've got three uber-talented running backs. Again, like, why are you adding a fourth? Like, you can sneak Patrick Taylor onto the on the practice squad. Like, there's no need to throw a fourth guy in there when those three guys are – like, at this point, the Packers are going to be forced to figure out ways to get Kylan Hill onto the field. Like, it's not just he's just a guy in the running back group. Like, they're going to need to figure out 5 to 6 plays a game for him. And so I think when you've got those three talented running backs, like, that's enough. Like, you don't need to keep the fourth. So I liked what they did.
Sarah, what do you say with the running back room?
I totally agree. I mean, I feel like when we go through this list, we're going to agree on a lot of things just because it makes sense. It's the thing that, you know, if I'm the GM of the Packers, I'm going to do that too. But I think Hill has the opportunity to be really special. And, you know, from everything I've seen and watching the preseason games, evaluating, writing the game recaps, I think Hill is an ultimate steal in the seventh round. And he's going to be able to produce. I wouldn't be surprised if LaFleur actually has plays, you know, meant for him and working him into the playbook. Not all the time, but there might be, you know, a few things up his sleeve because he's going to be a weapon. You know, people talk all the time about how the Packers don't have weapons. Well, Kylan Hill is going to be a weapon in the future for Green Bay. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's just a weapon. I kind of, in my mind, I thought they might keep Dexter Williams for a bit. Just that he's the more, from what we've seen, I mean, he's been in the league longer, but that kind of more polished runner, whereas Kylan Hill is kind of more an X-Factor guy right now. But yeah, I don't hate keeping the three there. Wide receiver, they kept six. This was one, I mean, up until the Funchess injury, I had them keeping seven. And then once Funchess went down, it was where you could make a case for a couple different guys. And they ended up cutting EQ, Juwan Winfrey, Reggie Begelton, and Damon Hazelton. So that wide receiver room sits Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, MVS, Randall Cobb, Amari Rogers, and Malik Taylor. Just kind of, I believe, as we all kind of as assumed was going to happen. I mean, that's where I kind of sat. So, Steve, is that where you were sitting on wide receivers as well?
Yep, couldn't agree more. I mean, that's pretty much exactly what I thought. When you didn't see EQ at all in the preseason, I thought that was pretty telling. It was either he's guaranteed to make the roster or he's guaranteed to be cut. It was like, yeah, it was black and white on that one. And yeah, when he didn't see any snaps, it was just kind of, okay, we know what you can do. And if we need you in a couple of weeks, we'll probably be able to find you on the street. So horrible. I feel actually a little horrible saying that out loud because that's really cold. But we kind of know what we're getting from EQ, and yeah, I like what they're so far. Love everything the Packers did.
Sarah, where are you sit with wide receivers?
Yeah, I mean, Malik Taylor, I was really excited about how he performed in the preseason. And it was pretty clear that, you know, if there's a final spot, it was going to go to him. He really came through. He made plays when he needed to, took advantage of his opportunities. And, you know, with EQ, it's just unfortunate. He could never stay healthy. I think, you know, he has all the potential. He has the skill set. It's just he couldn't stay healthy. And it never worked out. And, you know, hopefully he ends up somewhere and he's able to stay healthy and perform. But unfortunately, it just didn't work out for him and the Packers.
Yeah, I was a huge EQ guy. And then this was kind of, this is kind of the prove it year. And then with, the getting Cobb in the door, and then the Amari Rogers draft, and then Taylor showing out, was like, okay, well, this is the end of it. So kind of sad way to see him go out. I do hope he latches on somewhere, because that is a guy that you always hope was going to shake out, and it just didn't. So I was a little sad.
Before you go, mm-hmm. I saw this question on Twitter, and I think we got it last week, and I wanted to know what your thoughts on it were, but do you feel that Randall Cobb, like, and Aaron Rodgers kind of like stole a wide receiver position? Do you think EQ would be a better fit in the offense than Randall Cobb?
No, I don't. I mean, I think if EQ is the guy that I hoped he was going to turn into, like, yes, because EQ is younger, he's longer, he's faster. Like, I think you can do more with EQ. Like, I guess the ideal version of EQ than you could with Cobb at this stage in his career. But I think, you know, there's so much in this offense, you know, revolves around a lot of it, you know, blocking, and you need guys that know their assignments. And not saying that EQ didn't know his assignments, but Cobb is a better blocker, better route runner, kind of knows what Rodgers is doing after, you know, everything kind of breaks down. And so I think the fact that, again, this is going to sound mean, like you just sound, Steve. I think the fact that Cobb is like, could be a useful player and you can carve out a niche for him is something that EQ was just never able to do. EQ was a guy, he was never like a package built around him. There's never anything like you put him out there and like he'll get one play a year. We had a really nice run after catch, you know, really nice snag.
Yeah, play against the 49ers.
Yeah, the back shoulder against the 49ers. He had that third down run and catch against the Lions where he spun out of like four guys around him and ran for 15 yards and it set up a field goal. Like, you got those plays. So he showed those flashes, but I think you need, I mean, out of a player like that, you know, you want a guy to flash like that, or out of that like wide receiver four, wide receiver five position, you just want, okay, when that guy comes out, can he be consistent and can he do his job essentially? And EQ, I just don't know that ever got to that point where they really trusted him. And I feel like you can trust Cobb. So that's kind of where I sit on that, I guess. Tight end room. We'll go to tight end room. They kept four. Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan, Josiah DeGuara, and Dominique Daphne. There was some noise about, Bronson Cafusi, that perhaps he could make it. He did not make the cut. And, of course, Jay Sternberger is suspended for the first two games. We're going to talk about him a little more in a minute. But tight end room, I know for me, shook out roughly how I expected it. Sarah?
Yeah, no surprises here. This was exactly what, you know, I was anticipating, and I think this is a really strong tight end room. I mean, putting DeGuara back in the mix. When I saw him out in the field on Saturday, so I was door, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm excited. I can't imagine how excited Dusty is now. So, that's a really solid position group for the Packers.
DeGuara caught like a 4-yard out route, and I was like, ooh, he did it.
That's what I did. I'm watching it with my boyfriend Bailey, and we're just kind of hanging out, watching the game. I'm taking notes, and then he catches the pass, and I'm like, it's DeGuara. And he's like, what? He's like, it was literally like just a normal route. Like the way I acted, it was like he did something really magnificent and wonderful when he just caught the ball, you know, which is his job. So
Steve, where do you sit on the tight end room?
Man, it's hard not to concentrate on Sternberger for me. Like, I hate it. Like, again, like I feel bad, but like I can't see him on the roster in a couple of weeks. It just, with like Sarah just said, this group is so strong, so deep. As much as it sucks that he was a third round draft pick, he's not getting it. I mean, the tight ends coach is going out of his way to, like Matt said, he was going out of his way to like downplay Sternberger. Mm-hmm. Like they were asking questions about, you know, like his great play in the game. He's like, dude, you guys need to temper this. Like he doesn't understand the playbook. Like a third year tight end doesn't understand the playbook, that's a huge red flag. So I think it's solid. I mean, what, Tonyan? I don't anticipate Tonyan dropping a ball this year.
Yeah.
Again, like he just does what he does. Mercedes Lewis being the veteran guy that you want, and Daphne, like, man, they are set there. So offensively, like I am, you know, a pig in all sorts of stuff with the Packers offense.
Yeah, actually, we'll talk about Sternberger for a second because we did get a question. We normally save this at the end, but this is relevant here from Joshua Pinaski. I'm probably not saying that correctly. Is what are the chances Sternberger makes it past week 6? Seems like between his suspension and the rest of the tight end room, he could be at risk of a midseason drop. And Steve, I mean, I'm right there with you. He's on the suspended list because he's going to miss those 2 games. Unless there's an injury or unless something happens, I don't anticipate him back in week 3. I mean, you've got, you know, Mercedes Lewis is kind of the traditional, kind of that wide tight end. Tonyan kind of more the pass catching guy who can block. I mean, he's definitely grown his game. We saw that a lot last year. DeGuara, we still don't know exactly what he's going to do, but I mean, he showed, and I wrote about this. There was that 2-play sequence on the goal line. There was DeGuara when they ran, I think the Packers first drive this past week, they ran Dylan into the line, and DeGuara is kind of the inset inline tight end on the left, and he needed to wash, get your guy, lock him up, wash him out of line. DeGuara does that. The very next play, Sternberger, third-year tight end, he should have this by now, just lets the dude right inside of him who stops A.J. Dillon in the backfield. Like that, those plays there are just indicative to me of kind of where those guys are at right now. And then Dominique Daphne, who I don't think is amazing, but he's got, you know, some positional versatility there that allows him to do what they want to do. So, I mean, I think, like, to me, I mean, it's nice they got that 2-game buffer. Unless there's an injury, forget week 6, man. I don't think Sternberger's back when he gets off suspension, is my feeling. All right, offensive line. So this was another one that was kind of, you know, a lot of who's going to get this, and there were some surprises here to me anyway. So we'll go with who they kept. They kept 9. They kept Elton Jenkins, Billy Turner, Lucas Patrick, Josh Myers, Royce Newman, John Runyon, Yash Nyman, I think is what it is, Dennis Kelly, and Jake Hansen. A couple surprises there, and then of course Bakhtiari is starting on the PUP list, so he's out for the first 6 weeks. So that means they released Ben Braden, Cole Van Landen, my boy Coy Kronk, and Jacob Capra. So some surprises here. Steve, do you want to kind of go with what you thought about the offensive line room?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little shocking, like Ben Braden getting cut. Yeah. I mean, we all kind of had him penciled in,
yeah,
like written with pen in, almost as not a starter but a backup. I mean, he was getting some run with the ones, I think, believe back in early parts of training camp and stuff like that. So yeah, that one was pretty shocking. But I guess if I will say, if it's one thing that the Packers do well, it is develop like mid-level draft picks into just amazing starters. So I can't knock anything they did. So I believe in the Green Bay Packers and their ability to analyze offensive linemen. So I'm just going with it.
Sarah, where are you at?
Yeah, I thought this was interesting, but, you know, we talk about positions that are really strong for the Packers, and when you think about that and you evaluate the team and you look at the history of this team, O-line is always one where they've really in recent years thrived. So yeah, I'm kind of with Steve on this. I just trust the Packers on this one. And yeah, there were a couple of surprises, but I think the guys that they have, it'll be fine. And obviously Bakhtiari will be back, you know, midway kind of through the season. So it is what it is. I think they'll be fine. And Aaron Rodgers will be well protected another year.
Yeah, for me, the surprise there was Steve touched on as Braden. I mean, I thought he showed out pretty well in the preseason. I mean, not a rock by any stretch of the imagination, but there was times where, I mean, Royce Newman was kind of the talk of preseason with what he was doing, and there was times I'm looking and I was kind of drawn more to what Braden was doing than what Newman was doing. So he's, I mean, definitely not amazing by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he was solid. He's a guy I hope they're able to bring back practice squad if they can sneak him back on, just because I think he showed some really good stuff. And Steve, like you said, he was maybe even that first opening five of like that first practice, Braden may have been one of the starters one of those first 2 days. So
it was like the voluntary camps. Like,
yeah,
like he was there. Like when they had a lot of depth at the offensive line, he was still running with the ones, and it was kind of, that was one I was shocked by.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, in the preseason, I thought Runyon performed way worse than I kind of expected, and Braden was way better. And so, I kind of assumed they were keeping Runyon, but that was a little of a shock to me. Defensive line. So some of the talk of defensive line was, Jack Heflin looks good. Are they going to keep Jack Heflin, or are they going to keep Tyler Lancaster? And the answer was both. They're keeping both. They kept six defensive linemen. They kept Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, Kingsley Keke, Tyler Lancaster, TJ Slayton, our favorite TJ Slayton, and Jack Heflin, cut Willington Prevalon, Carlo Kemp, and Abdullah Anderson. Like, Anderson was a relatively late add, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember when he came on, but I think he was relatively late. So, Sarah, any surprises in that defensive line group to you?
Just that they kept that many was really the surprise there. But, you know, at first when I saw that, I'm like, what? Why? You know, why would they keep that many? But looking back in the last few years, this has been an area with a lot of injuries for the Packers. So maybe they're just thinking, hey, you know, we have an extra guy that's on the roster that we know is capable, and in case somebody gets hurt, we trust this person. You know, they're getting good reps in practice, so let's just go with it. But yeah, I was a little surprised at the sheer number of them that they kept on the roster for this year.
Steve?
I just like Jack Heflin's dad. He's on Twitter, and he's defending his son. He's pimping him out when he makes the 53-man roster. Like, all I could see, like, as soon as I saw that today, I saw that he put a tweet out about him making the 53-man roster. I was like, dude, if my kid ever makes an NFL team, that's me. Like, I am tweeting about my kid, and that was awesome. So, again, like Sarah said, the depth was such a problem last year, and that was the only reason I kind of gathered they would do what they did and keep a lot of bodies. And I think they're going to try to figure out who they really like. And as we've talked about this, it's the initial 53 man. It's not the end all be all. Like, and I see a lot of action on the defensive line going forward.
Yeah, no, very good football dad. Very good football dad. I know I was very much on Heflin after the first preseason game. He only had he stopped that screen pass. We had the kind of the awareness to recognize and make that kind of that really nice diving shoestring tackle that for a young guy, the really good awareness on that. So I'm excited. I hope he sticks. I was in favor of keeping him over Lancaster. So I'm glad they both made it, and we'll see what happens going forward. We'll go to the edge group, the outside linebacker group. They kept five, which is kind of a shock to me. I thought they were going to keep four, and that might just point to what they think about Za'Darius Smith's injury, or maybe they're just keeping five, and we'll see what else clears up. So right now they're keeping Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, Jonathan Garvin, and Chauncey Rivers. I was definitely in the camp of, man, are they going to keep Garvin or Rivers? And again, the answer was both. So Sarah, what do you think about the outside linebacker group?
Should I even have an opinion, or should I just let Steve take this one?
No, Steve gets the next one. Steve gets inside linebackers. We all share outside linebackers.
All right. Well, I just hear linebackers, and that's all I need. Then I get nervous because I'm afraid Steve's going to yell at me or something. So, but
I don't have anger issues, Sarah.
Anyways, how do I feel about it? Kind of the same way I feel about the position group we were just talking about, that they kept more than I was anticipating. And something that, you know, I totally agree with you, Dusty. It was kind of between those two for me. And I'm like, it's going to be one or the other. And they kept both. So this is a position that I see a cut, you know, in the middle of the mm-hmm. year. Maybe they're just trying to figure it out now, like, just see how it goes. But I cannot imagine, at least in both position groups, keeping that many guys. Somebody's getting cut in one or the other, you know, whether it's week three or midway through the season or something like that. But there's no way that that sticks for both position groups.
Steve?
Makes me a little bit worried about Z. If they're freaking out, you know, want to make sure they have a little depth there. So I think that's the thing that kind of caught me off guard the most. They clearly like the guys that they've got. And again, kind of like the, like Sarah just said, like I said about the last group, the defensive linemen, like where I don't anticipate this being the final 50, like the final group that they have on the 53, but they'll let these couple guys like fight it out, see which one they like even more after a couple of games in like the regular season, and they'll go from there. So yeah, I'm okay with it, but it's, you know, offensive side of the ball I felt super comfortable. Defensive side of the ball I'm kind of like, okay, there's some question marks here.
Yeah, and honestly, this next group is probably my biggest question mark in terms of, we just talked about two groups where they kept more guys. Now, some of that is the way they're going to be playing. They're likely going to have more bodies up front, just the way they're likely going to play defense this year. But still, six guys on the line, five outside linebackers, and five inside linebackers. Five inside. I had them like keeping like three, I think, just try to fit in other guys. So their inside linebacker room, Devondre Campbell, I assume was a lock. Chris Barnes, lock. Oren Burks was a guy I've always been high on, and then after his preseason, I was like, I was penciling him in. Ty Summers was a guy I was middling on because of his basically special teams ability. And then Isaiah McDuffie was kind of a bat-out-of-hell rookie that I did not know was going to make the team. So that's five inside linebackers. Again, Devondre Campbell, Chris Barnes, Oren Burks, Ty Summers, Isaiah McDuffie. That's a lot of inside linebackers. Now, I assume a lot of their special teams is coming out of that. Three of those guys may be just dedicated special teamers. But this is an area where I'm like, I would carry four and carry an extra running back or an extra wide receiver if you want to go that route. So this one felt overstuffed, and this is Steve. I'm going to let Steve cook for a minute, Sarah, and then we'll get to you. But Steve, how do you feel about the inside linebacker room?
I mean, it's the overwhelming theme of the Packers and inside linebackers. I don't know what the hell they're doing. I legitimately, I never know what they're doing. You, like you said, you would have expected three. And sure, they need some help on the special teams. God knows that they do. And so maybe that's where they're identifying Ty Summers, Isaiah McDuffie. Like, maybe those are that's what they want for them. And okay, I get it. Maybe those guys should be labeled as special teams players, yeah, not inside linebackers. Sure. But man, I don't know. I never know when it comes to inside linebackers. I'm never going to know when it comes to inside linebackers. I just know it's always going to piss me off.
Sarah, how do you feel like following that?
Do I have to? Yes. I mean, that was just really...
That was a perfect response.
So. Well, I just laughed because when we were talking with Matt a couple weeks ago, Steve just like, why can't they get it right? Why can't they ever figure it out? And it just, I feel like that is...
And he legitimately goes, that's a great question.
Yeah. That's no, I was just going to say, it's a $1 million question. If somebody has the answer, I mean... They're just a genius because we don't know. This is one of those positions. This position group and special teams drive me insane because the Packers can just never make it work. There are always, you know, one or two guys that come and there's promise and you're like, all right. And then they just either decline or they get traded in some trade or it doesn't work out, or it's like J.K. Scott where they're good for, you know, one or two years and then they just decide not to be good anymore. I don't know. So sure, I'll just agree with Steve, partially in fear that he'll yell at me if I disagree with him. Oh,
that's, that, I mean, that, if you're gonna agree with Steve, that's the reason to agree with Steve right there. We'll move on to the cornerback room. They kept six, but honestly, it's the six that they kept. There's one guy there that I think was a little bit of a surprise to me. Before I say this, I do want to say, you know, they traded Kadar Holman to the Texans a couple weeks ago. I think they got a six-round pick in return, and the Texans just cut him today. So they got a six-round pick for legitimately nothing, which thanks Houston.
Seventh round?
Okay. Maybe seventh round.
He was drafted in the sixth, I think.
And okay. Got Maybe that's seven. What I'm thinking. Okay.
But yeah, like legit, like they got a pick for a guy that they could just grab right now.
Yeah,
that's insane.
It's great. Good for them. Thanks, Houston. Mm-hmm. So the cornerback room, Some of these are no surprise. It's Jair Alexander, Kevin King, Eric Stokes, Shannon Sullivan, Shamar John Charles, and then the last one, which is a bit of a surprise to me, was Isaac Yedem. I kind of thought they were going to do KB and Ento. He was kind of the camp darling there, so they let go of Ento. Steven Denmark, who I thought was a really intriguing guy they had just picked up, just a huge guy that I thought could be a really good kind of punt gunner and maybe profiles more as a safety. And then Rosterman Ferris, who they just picked up. So cornerback room. Sarah, how do you feel about their cornerback room?
Yeah, I agree about Ento. I was really surprised about that one. I thought he was kind of a lock to make it for the cornerbacks, but I feel okay. I think the front half of that list I feel a little better about than the bottom half, but we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I really was surprised by Ento. I thought, like you said, Dusty, that he was it. I was getting Malik Taylor vibes from him this camp, just, you know, taking advantage of the opportunities, showing up when he needed to. And to me, you know, they had the same outcome, but obviously the Packers thought differently. So
you can tell Sarah's trying to rationalize it because her voice kept getting higher the more she's kind of talking about this, which I really appreciate.
I just want it to be okay. All right. Like
maybe it's this. I don't know. Steve, where do you sit with the cornerbacks?
Man, Sarah has said so many times on this podcast, I wish this was a video podcast so you guys could see like Steve or Dusty's face when they were talking about this. And I wish you could have seen Sarah's face when she was talking about the cornerback group, because it was just like, had like a fake smile of like, I'm happy. No, I'm really
just
happy
trying about so
the
hard.
I was like the one meme where the person's smiling, but if you like take off the face, they're like angry and crying behind. That was just me now.
You know, the defense is in flux, man. It'll be very interesting to see how some of these young guys do. I think with Ento, they probably feel that they can sneak him to the practice squad and then move him up if need be. And I mean, when they took the kid from that they traded for from the Giants, right? That
was
was number six. Mm-hmm. So I mean, he started games for the Giants last year, and if you throw that guy out onto the waiver wire as opposed to Ento, I feel like he's going to get grabbed before Ento is. So that's my guess as to what it is. I was in the same thought process as all of you. I thought Ento would have been the guy that they would have kept, and it was shocking, but again, it's not the final 53 for this. This is going to have so many moves and things like that. So I'm kind of like the Jordan shrug emoji guy, like, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
My only thing with Ento is, I mean, this defense, it's kind of, to some extent, some of the stuff Pettin was doing where it's kind of, you're going to have to rally and tackle. And Ento in the preseason missed so many tackles, man, just so many. So I saw all that stuff. I'm like, I don't know, man, like if this guy can't tackle, that seems like that's going to be a harder time for him making. I still had him penciled in, but not super shocking that he was gone. Last up, as far as these groups, before we get to the last special team specialists here, it's the safeties. Now, this is another one that shocked me a little bit. This is one where I thought you could have skimped on inside linebacker and gone a little heavier with the safeties. They kept four safeties. They kept, of course, Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, Henry Black, and Vernon Scott, who we talked about quite a bit. They let go of Christian Uphoff and Innes Gaines. Both of those guys, I thought, had a really interesting case to make it, and I thought at least one of them would. So the fact that neither of them did was shocking. That's one where I was like, man, I would have dropped, I don't know, like Isaiah McDuffie and kept either Uphoff and Gaines if it was me, kept five safeties based on how they're likely to play defense, then just keep four and then keep that five inside linebacker room. So this is more than Dexter Williams, more than a seventh wide receiver. This is the one with, like, I don't know, man, like five safeties made way more sense to me than five inside linebackers, but that's just me. Sarah, where do you sit with these are our final safeties for the time being?
Yeah, this is another group that it's just like, okay, there's a few guys that I feel solid with, and the others I'm not so sure, but hopefully, you know, they're able to push through. But I definitely could see changes in the future. And I know Perry wrote a really good story about the safeties for Dusty's blog. So definitely check that out if you haven't, because she really said everything better than I possibly ever could. So definitely check that out.
Perry loves her safeties. Steve, where are you at with safeties?
Yeah, again, like, I think it's something that they're banking on. They can probably get Uphoff into the practice squad, And the only other news and notes thing that I saw that kind of made sense to me was that I believe that Chris Banjo was cut today.
Mm-hmm.
So special teams expert Chris Banjo. So it wouldn't shock me if they kind of made a move to bring him back at some point here if he doesn't get picked up by anybody else. So I don't love it. Honestly, this was one of the ones, just like you said, like I would have thought you want multiple safeties, the way that this defense runs, the way that, you know, you can sub package, put them into a linebacker role and, you know, in dime and stuff like that would have made a lot of sense to me. So I didn't quite get this, but again, shockingly, I am not a GM in the NFL. So I'm going to trust Goody to put the Packers in the best position.
Yeah, and I think of all of them, I think that's the one that surprised me the most as far as how few bodies they kept. Rounded out with our specialist, who, as we mentioned at the top of the show, is Corey. It was with technically J.K. Scott, then, you know, trade for Corey Borjaquez and drop J.K. Scott. And then Mason Crosby and Hunter Bradley are the guys that we've rounded out with. So overall, our 53-man roster we've just gone through, I mean, I kind of sit with, I really like the offense. You know, a couple questions, the offensive line probably. Kept a lot of guys on defense, man. A whole lot of that offensive, the linebacker room, just between outside linebackers and inside linebacker room, just overstuffed. But I don't know, a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. So just looking at it holistically, we'll say, are the full 53, knowing it's going to be in flux. Steve, how do you feel about your 2021 Green Bay Packers as they currently stand?
Honestly, like we kind of talked about the whole way through, I feel really good about the offense. I feel like they're going to do exactly the type of things that they did last year, and I think it's going to be even better. Like, I think the addition of Randall Cobb / Amari Rodgers, I think those are going to be some really key additions. Like, that slot position is really solidified, where, you know, you had EQ kind of hit and miss. You had Lazard trying to bounce around. Like, you had MVS. Like, I feel like there's so many more solidified roles for the offense. And then adding Kylan Hill, having Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon as that running back group, like, man, this offense is going to be humming, and it's going to be humming real quick. Like, ready to go, even if Bakhtiari is on the pup list and not ready to go. Like, I don't have a problem with the offense at all. It's the defense that you just have your question marks about again. And I think that's the reason they threw more bodies at it. They're trying to figure out a couple of things, hope a couple guys hit, and taking a couple of chances on guys. So I almost feel like it's pretty much just like the 2020 team of last year, where, like, I felt good about the offense, question marks about the defense, but overall, I'm excited. I think this is a Super Bowl caliber team, and I'm ready for the regular season, man.
Sarah, where are you at with the 53?
Yeah, I mean, Steve hit on a lot of it already, but it's kind of, you know, we're in the same position that we were last year when we were evaluating the Packers. We're looking, you know, at all three phases, and, you know, the offense looks spectacular. They look like they're going to tear up the league again, and that they're definitely going to put up, you know, crazy numbers. They've added people, you know, like Kylan Hill, Amari Rodgers, you know, that are only going to Randall Cobb, you know, that are only going to spice things up even more. DeGuara is back, like we talked about earlier in the show. So, yeah, the offense, a lot of good stuff there. And that's not what's keeping me awake at night. Again, another year, the defense and special teams are kind of worrying me. You know, you're looking at the defense, which struggled, you know, a lot of times last year, and there aren't a lot of major changes. So, you know, we have to hope that something changes, that, you know, some new schemes that they have set up with the new coach on defense, things maybe can improve that way. And then with special teams, we have to hope that, you know, this punter is as good as people, you know, say he is, and that then we can actually tackle people on punt and kick returns. So, yeah, I think the Packers are certainly a Super Bowl contender again this year, and I'm really excited. When you're listening to this, 11 days away, so it's just, you know, we're so close, and I think, again, we're going to see the Packers are going to score a lot of points every single game, and it's just a matter of we can stop the other team from scoring, too, so.
Yeah, for sure, and just to round this out, so today, as you're listening to this, is Wednesday at 4 p.m. New York time. On Wednesday, September 1st, is the time for waiver claims. And so at that time, after 4 p.m., then you can start building out the practice squads. That's where all these, you know, possibly Benkert comes back and, you know, all these guys that were kind of, you've had your eye on during preseason. Well, I hope they can come back on the practice squad around 4 p.m. today on September 1st is when that movement can start happening, when all the waivers have been through and processed. So that's something to keep an eye on going forward. We are going to, as we always do, we're going to get to your questions here. We got, you know, quite a few good ones. We couldn't get to all of them this week, but thank you as always for sending them in, as we do like to hear what you guys want to hear about. So we're going to kick this off, since we just got done running through the entire 53. We're going to go with a question from Joseph Quincy. He asks, would you rather be the 79th guy on the team and get cut right away, or 54th and wait until the last minute to get cut? So I think there's some fun conversations we had around this one. So Steve, where do you sit on this? Where would you want to be, the last guy out or the first guy out?
I know we kind of disagree on this, but I think my thought process is I would want to be the 54th guy cut, especially if it's coming from the Packers team, because this team is so deep. This team has so many veterans, and there weren't a lot of open positions to be had on the Packers squad. So if I'm number 54, I have a really good feeling that I'm going to be, you know, a commodity on the open market, that some other team is going to see me and be like, okay, just because the Packers didn't want him doesn't mean that he's not okay for our 53. So I feel like it would suck to be like that last guy, like, you know, watching everybody else go, and then all of a sudden you're the last one cut. Sure, that would be horrible, but I would still feel like I would be able to catch on to a team a lot quicker than if you're cut at like 75.
Sarah, where do you come down on this?
I would rather be cut early, because if I'm a very anxious person, so if I'm there at the end and going to be on the, you know, final day of cuts for the 53, I'm just going to sit there all day, and if I get cut, it's like I was so close. And then I will just pick myself apart. What did I do wrong? It could have just been one thing. This is on me. Where if I was cut earlier in the process, I'd be like, all right, this just isn't for me. Probably shouldn't be in the NFL, and I'll just do something else with my life. Like, but that would be devastating to really grind it out all camp, during preseason, and then just be so close and get cut at the end. I mean, both scenarios suck, let's be real, but for me, and just how anxious I get, I would just rather it be sooner rather than later. So
yeah, and I definitely appreciate Steve's take. I'm definitely in Sarah's line. I look at it in terms of like games. Like, would you rather relive the 2019 NFC Championship game where the Packers were essentially out of it by halftime, when, you know, Garoppolo threw 8 passes and Mostert went for 5,000 yards? Or would you rather be the 2014 NFC Championship game where the Packers should have won that one, and you can point to 5, 6, a dozen different things that if one of those goes differently, they win that game? Like, you're with Sarah, like, I mean, you're 54 and you get cut, and you're like, man, if I just wouldn't have dropped that pass in practice, like, that's what it got me. Like, it's always that second guessing. Whereas if you're 79th, they're like, well, I don't know, go, XFL is opening up or something, you know, you can find work if you want it, man. Like, you can do that. But it's I would definitely be, if you don't want me, just tell me you don't want me very early, and let me get on with my life here. So that's definitely where I sit on that. All right. Sticking with the theme of our 53-man roster, this comes from our friend Matt Pickett. He says, you three have been very averse to declaring your cut candidates. Matt has asked us multiple times over the past couple months who are surprise cuts and stuff, and we have not answered them. So he's asking us basically why have you been so averse to doing that? Because we have been. So he said that he thinks there's very good reasons for it. In your own words, why do you avoid it? And then he's got a food question, as he always does. What food do you try to avoid but always go back to? So Sarah, we'll start with you. Why have you been averse to talking about cut candidates?
It's really simple. I mean, similar to how I feel about the draft, I hate falling in love with one or two people and then my dreams just getting crushed at the end of it all. So I just don't like to, you know, pick people like that. I think there are some, like, yeah, we all have our 53-man roster projections, but I've never been one to get really analytical about it and go and actually make it. But I know other people do, and they're way smarter than me, so I'll just let them do it and enjoy their content. That's kind of just how I feel. I evaluate, you know, I have people, like we were talking about before, like with Ento, that I'm like, oh yeah, or Malik Taylor. So I definitely keep an eye on it. I just don't really, you know, post a lot and you know, make my own predictions and list out on social media, because it's not my favorite thing ever either. I don't necessarily like watching people get cut, and I know that's really hard. So that's just kind of where I sit on that one. Food. What food do I always try to avoid but always go back to? I guess it's a drink, but it's just beer. I try it time and time again, and it just is, I just can't like it. I just, whenever my boyfriend and I go to eat and he gets a beer, he's like, here, try it. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is the time that I take a sip and it's not that bad. And it's just bad every time. So,
we need to qualify this, because what type, like what kind of beers do you try?
Not like garbage ones. Like we'll go to like a brewery or something where it's like legit. It's not right, like I'm like, trying Natty Light or something like that.
And I wouldn't assume that's what you'd be trying at a restaurant. But like, do you try like IPAs? Do you try, or do you not even know?
No, I've tried IPAs. I like, if the I'm forced to drink a beer, I'd prefer it to be like a lighter beer. I'm just like, anything that's like super dark brown, that's beer, it's just a no from me. But I don't know. I don't know why. I just don't like it. And I try it over and over again, and it just never works out. So
she's Charlie Korsmo and can't hardly wait, screaming the beer has gone bad every time she has a beer. That's basically Sarah at a restaurant. Don't drink the beer. The beer has gone bad.
Such a good reference.
Thank you, Steve. So why do you not talk about 53? And what's your food that you just can't quite quit?
Man, there's so many more talented, more dialed in people than I am on a 53-man roster. Like all the beat reporters, all the, like Andy's there, Jacob, Westendorf, like all these people, they have so much more access to the Packers. I don't go to training camp. I don't, like, I watch the preseason games, but I don't do the, you know, all 22. Like, I trust Dusty. I trust, like, Andy. I trust all those guys so much more than myself. I don't dive deep into like the training camp roster. I don't do that. Like, it's just me putting a 53-man roster out there would be like throwing darts with a blindfold on. I know, I like, don't get me wrong, like I'd hit a couple of things. I would definitely hit a couple of things, and I know like the Packers roster is easier probably to predict than a lot, but I mean, you saw like there were multiple things on defense that nobody saw coming. Then even the beat reporters didn't see coming. So I stay in my lane. Like, I let the people that know those things better than me take care of those things. So that's kind of why I always avoid the topic. Like, it will be me guessing, and I don't feel comfortable guessing with somebody's job. So
yeah.
And then as far as food or drink that I keep coming back to, we had a joke about it before we even started, but it's Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And I think I've officially reached my limit of it today, because my son was having a rough morning, and every once in a while we'll go get some munchkins and bring them into his class, and that's like a special treat. So just a nice thing for the kids to have a you know, a special snack. And so he was having a rough morning, so we did it. And you know, I used to get Dunkin' Donuts coffee all the time, and it blew my mind, because every single time I would go, I would order the same thing. I would get an extra large hot coffee with skim milk and sugar. And it was crazy to me, because it would taste different every single time that I would go to the same Dunkin' Donuts and I would get a different tasting coffee. And I think I put it on Facebook, but one of my friends was like, yeah, he's like, you get the, it's a different, because it tastes burnt every time. And then it's burnt with a different level of skim milk and a different level of sugar. And I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, damn it. I'm like, that is exactly what it is. Like, I had the coffee this morning. I'm like, this is burnt coffee with a different level of skim milk and sugar. I'm like, I'm never going again. However, I'm like, a couple of months down the road, I'm sure I'll tweet out that I went to Dunkin' Donuts and I had burnt coffee again. So I try to avoid it, but at some point I'm assuming I'll have to go back.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I do make a 53 man. I don't put it out there, but it's just to level set myself. And so when I'm talking about this, when I'm looking at what the, I mean, specifically the offense, what's the offense going to look like? What are the pieces going to look like? What can they run? How are they going to run it? That kind of stuff. I'm really level set myself so I don't have them keeping 10 wide receivers when that's not feasible to keep 10 wide receivers or even 7 wide receivers because you got to fill out the rest of it. So for me, it's kind of a level set. But I mean, kind of the thing that everyone else has been saying, I don't really like speculating when it's someone else's job. It's weird to me. Like 2 months in advance for me personally to say like I don't think this guy's gonna make it because I don't know. What do I know? I'm not like beyond me not being at practices, I'm also not in the room with the guys either. Like there's so much that goes into football that we just don't see, that I don't feel comfortable doing it. And then beyond that, as Steve said, like there's 1,000 people that do this. I say 1,000. I don't know. Matt has actually been gathering and he's been compiling all these, and I think he had a dozen or something that he was looking at in terms of like who picked them and who was more right and all that stuff. But there's, I take the same thing I do with the draft. My role, I see my role in the Packers blogosphere. I have a very specific role that I see. There's other people that spend time doing all this other stuff. That's great because there's a bunch of people and everyone's got their role to play. And I view mine as I cover it the same way as the draft, man. There's a lot of the people that dig into the draft, and I will just watch what smart people say about the draft, and then that's how I'll learn. 53 is the same way. If they're saying this guy looks good at practice, Ennis Gaines, if it wasn't for a lot of the reporting that went on at practice and stuff, I wouldn't care one way or another about Ennis Gaines. But you kind of read that stuff and you kind of start forming an opinion a little bit. And so I just let the people that know better than me kind of tackle that stuff. And then I'll, when it gets about a week, okay, what do I think is going to happen? Who do I think is going to be around? And for me, it's roughly, 80% set by that point anyway. And then it's just kind of those guys on the fringes there. So it's just, there are people better than me. And I don't feel like they're taking the time to keep up with it on a weekly basis. It's just not, I got other stuff going on. I'm tired, what food do I try to avoid? I always go back to, it's Thanksgiving stuffing, man. I hate stuffing. Like I really do. My mom hand makes it and it's amazing and everyone loves it and talks about how good it is. I don't, it's the texture and the taste. I think it's the spice in there. I hate it. And every few years I think, well, maybe I'm older now. My taste buds have matured. And it turns out, no, I still just hate it. So I still do go back every now and then, even though I know how it's going to end. So I do try that. We've got two more questions here. This one's from Brian Nervegrader. That's at MTG Lord of Leaves. As we all know, the week one game that was supposed to be played at New Orleans due to the hurricane is not going to be in New Orleans. And it was going to be in Dallas, and it's not going to be in Dallas because there's a concert, I believe, at the same time. So, his question, not counting Lambeau or AT&T, where do you prefer the Packers-Saints game be held in week one and why? And what food would you want from that locale? Sarah?
All right, so I have three locations, and I've done my research and looked it up to make sure it's possible. In week one of the 2021 NFL season, Jacksonville Jaguars are not playing in their home stadium. They're playing at Texas. The Miami Dolphins are playing at New England, and Tampa Bay is the Thursday night game against Dallas. So there are no Florida football stadiums that are being used on the first Sunday of the NFL season. And there is a specific person, I don't know who she is, that lives in Florida that would really like to see the Packers and just be able to drive and see the Packers. So, I don't know who's listening, but I'm just going to throw that out there, that all three of those places are open. The weather is nice right now. It's sunny. So come on down. Come on down to Florida. Neutral location. I'll be there. So I literally looked this up. I didn't want to just say it and be like, oh, they can play at any of these stadiums. I looked it up. All three are available the first Sunday. All three are available. So your move, Green Bay. And New Orleans, your move.
I've done zero research. I just know that the University of Kentucky does not play on Sundays. Therefore, they should come to Kentucky because it's close to me. And then I will eat a Kentucky hot brown because those things are delicious. Steve, where should they play?
I do have to ask a question. I was in Kentucky and I went on bourbon tour at Maker's Mark. And I ordered a hot brown and it came with, technically it's supposed to be brown gravy, right? Yeah, so it came with white gravy on it. It was one of the worst things I've ever had.
You got to get a good one because it's an open face sandwich with gravy, so that gets soggy real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick if they don't do it right.
So, okay. I want to make sure that Maker's Mark screwed it up and that, Anyway, I'd go West Coast. I would go as long as it's outside because I don't want New Orleans in the dome. I don't want them in a dome at all. I want them outside. And
they're outside in Florida, just throwing that out there.
Anyway, California, I would like to do that. And the reason I would do that is because I've never had In-N-Out Burger. I've never had, what's the other one, Dusty? Was it Whataburger?
Oh, Whataburger's Texas, I believe, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, somewhere in there, I would like to have, I've never had that. And I know it's a big deal, like In-N-Out, like people are crazy about it. Like, I think it's the animal fries that people love or hate. Like, I would just like to try it. Like, I don't expect my mind to be blown, but I would like to try that at some point. So I would say if that was the case, I would travel out there and do that.
I'm going to make a correction. Kentucky Hot Brown does not have to be brown gravy, Steve. It's okay. Just you cook it until it's browned, until the top is browned.
Gotcha.
So it gets its name because it's cheesy.
It was still awful to make. I was mad that I was at Maker's Mark on a bourbon tour. So
I'll be honest with you. I'm not a huge fan of them. It's just in Kentucky, and it's our like Kentucky dish. And so that's what I get. Otherwise, it's just, I don't know. Bourbon. I will eat bourbon. That's what I will eat, and that's fine. Last question, Brian Harstead. Let's Steve roll for a minute here. Okay, so first question, not a Packers question, but it was a football one. What team would be the best fit for Cam Newton? As we all know, surprise cut, Cam Newton from New England today. And also, it's fair time. What fair food is your favorite? So I'm not going to answer the fair food one because I don't really have one. What team would be the best fit for Cam Newton? I mean... It depends on what you think he has left in the tank. My go-to would be the Broncos just because they're set to win now. And so if you think that his upside is better than Teddy Bridgewater, who's their current starter, and you know they got Drew Lock sitting behind him, then and you think you can win now, go for it. And if not, I don't know. I've heard a lot of Texans, but Texans are going to be butt this year, man. And they're not going anywhere with or without Cam Newton. So I would think Broncos just because they desperately need a quarterback with some upside, I think. Sarah?
I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be the Broncos quarterback, so... So yeah, I'm with you. Let Cam Newton go there, then do really well. And then the Broncos, you know, won't want to go after Aaron Rodgers, right? Wink, wink. No,
wink,
I'm
wink.
I don't know. It is a good question from Brian. I have been seeing a lot of talk about the Texans, and I think it makes sense as far as like the longevity of that. But I don't know how much he has left. And then also they're just in shambles. That franchise is just a mess. So it kind of sucks for Cam. I don't know where he's going to end up, but it's going to be a tough situation. And fair time, what fair food is my favorite? Probably just the classic funnel cake. I mean, you can't really go wrong. I get it every time. I mean, I haven't been to the fair in years, but when I used to go a lot, that was my go-to.
Man, with Cam Newton, I honestly don't know. I know everybody's saying Texans, but if he goes to the Texans, that means Deshaun Watson is being traded most likely to Miami. And if he's going to Miami, that means Tua Tagovailoa is probably coming back to the Texans, even if he goes to the Eagles. Like, I would assume Jalen Hurts would be coming back in that trade. I honestly can't think of a good landing spot for him right now. I think it's better for him to wait it out and see who gets hurt in a couple of weeks and kind of go from there. I mean, maybe the only thing that makes sense in my head right now would be the Colts, where it would be a good backup situation with Carson Wentz, where he's kind of iffy with his foot injury. So it sucks, but I think that would be the smartest thing for him right now, would just be to kind of wait. And then as far as fair foods go, man, I was at Wisconsin State Fair the other week and it sucked. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I freaking hated it. There were way too many people there. Like, it was insane. There were so many people that my wife and I were there with our two kids, and we were like, okay, we're going to take them down to all the rides. And we walked all the way down to the rides, which is at the end of State Fair. And we got down there, and there was more people down there than there were in the regular State Fair part. So it was even crazier. And we looked at it, and the line to get tickets to go onto the rides was 30 minutes long. So in order to get the privilege to buy tickets to go on rides, you had to wait for 30 minutes, which everybody knows, having a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, waiting in the hot sun for 30 minutes for tickets is just an outstanding thing to do. So we bought them stuff at the gift center and we called it a day. So it's not, like, to me, it's not fun. Like, everybody loves Summerfest. I hate Summerfest. There's way too many damn people there. It's just bouncing off of people, just way too expensive beer. Like, none of it. I don't have fun with any of it. So
The food is the one, you know, resounding win from all the fair stuff. So I will say the one thing I did really love this time was I had the deep fried cookie dough. And man, that was some awesome stuff. One of them is good though. If you're buying, like, they'll try to get you to buy three of them, and that's too much. So one deep fried cookie dough. Oh, damn! I would say that was my favorite.
Yeah, one deep fried anything is amazing, and then two deep fried anythings is not so amazing. all right, well that's it, guys. Thanks everyone for your questions and sitting through. And it was kind of a slightly extra long episode this week, but with the kind of talking through the 53 and everything, we thought we'd kind of spend time with that a little bit. So appreciate everyone sticking with us. Steve, you have any final thoughts to carry us out here?
No, I mean, I'm super excited that we're getting back to Packers football, like regular season real football. It's been an unbelievably long off season. Like, I appreciate it. We all appreciate the fact that you guys stuck with us, listened to us every single week when we were, you know, struggling to come up with some content. And but we're super excited that we're going to be able to talk real football. Dusty's going to be breaking down plays and offensive concepts, great. And it's going to be amazing. So we're super excited to get back to it. But same thing I've been beating the drum for every single week the last couple of weeks is make sure you're going out and trying to get vaccinated. We all want to get back to a normal life, so let's do that and do that and get everybody healthy. So, try to avoid taking, medication meant for animals. Like, that's not a good idea. Just not a good idea. So let's get back to being in full stadiums and stuff like that. And I'm excited for football, man.
Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. Next week, we're going to preview an actual game and not just, you know, preseason games that don't really mean anything. And it's just really exciting that we finally made it. Like Steve said, this offseason was so long and just the worst. So it's nice that we finally made it to this point, and I'm excited, you know, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be on Pat McAfee next Tuesday. Maybe.
I didn't check the date. Yeah, I'm not sure when he's starting.
Fingers crossed. We'll see. But I'm looking forward to that again. I always love breaking that down with you guys. So it should be a good time. Excited to write game recaps about, you know, the Packers ones and not their twos and threes and people that are not even on the team anymore. So that's no hate. It's just, you know, it's a little more fun to write about Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
That's reality, right?
Yeah. So, but before we go, I did want to give a shout out to Don and Matt, who are two of our most loyal listeners, because they're actually starting their own podcast together. That's called Hey, We Like Your Pod, and I think it's a great idea. And it's launching this weekend on Saturday, I'm pretty sure. So they're basically just going to look at, you know, the amazing bloggers, personalities, and different podcast writers, you know, everything that we're lucky enough to have as Packers fans, and just kind of give out superlatives, like who had the best analysis, who was funniest, who was the weirdest. So I'm expecting us to get the weirdest, you know, a lot of times, but no pressure there, guys. But just want to give them a shout out. You know, they have a Twitter page. It's at Hey WLYP. So go ahead and give them a follow. They're good people, and excited to see that content and, you know, hopefully work together with them sometime. It seems like a cool concept.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I'm excited to see what they come up with. Sarah, you mentioned Rodgers on McAfee Tuesdays. Man, there's other stuff going on this year too. Cheesehead has AJ Dillon Mondays, and Game On Wisconsin just yesterday, when you listen to us, announced MVS Tuesday. So last year they did Jamal Williams. The Jamal Williams had a weekly show over there to raise money for charity, and this year they're doing the same thing with MVS. So they announced that this yesterday afternoon, and so that's going to be really exciting as well. So it's I don't know when that's going to run, but I know AJ Dillon's Monday. I think the MVS will likely be before we record, so we may have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about on Tuesdays going forward, which is pretty exciting. So always good to see good people doing good things there. So for me, kind of the same thing everyone else said, man, just if you can get vaccinated, get vaccinated. I'm going to a game in a few weeks. I'm going to be at the home opener, which I'm really excited about, a little nervous about, but excited about. So it'd be cool to be in a stadium watching football again. And then as far as my writing stuff today over on Cheesehead TV, you'll be able to read my last preseason recap. No coaches film this time. I was not able to get the coaches film, and so I've got five plays a little closer to the line of scrimmage from this past week that I kind of looked at. So that was exciting. You know, without the coaches film and you know, again, preseason, I'm just cobbling together stuff, man, because, you know, the defense, I think we saw some new stuff on defense, but offense is just, it's relatively vanilla on offense. Defense was a little more interesting this year to watch, but I'm excited to get into the plays, man. I'm getting into the playbook a little bit more, so it's going to be exciting. But I will have at Cheesehead my last preseason piece up today at 4, so you can read that. Had fun with it. I think it's a good one. And that's it. So again, guys, thanks for listening. You know, we'll be back next week. As always, follow us on Twitter. That's at Steve Perhatch, at Sarah Kelleher 4, at Dusty Evely, and the podcast at Peckaday Podcast. Rate and review, please, 5 stars on your podcast listening platform of choice would be very, very nice. Thank you all for listening. Listen tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the day after that, because we're getting ready for football, man, and we're cranking out the content. So thanks always for listening, and as always, go Pack Go.